path all the way to where it ends, in history's unmarked grave of discarded lies.
Show you what the enemy really is, but if you understand symbolism, Nazi fascist symbolism, you will notice on each side of the presidential podium two interesting, perhaps 5 foot high symbols on each side of the podium where the president stands. This is what is referred to as a fasci, a bundle of sticks with a hatchet head. Now, what is the importance of a fasci? This is a symbol of Nazi fascism. The stuff that so many good Americans went to war in Second World War to defend the free countries of the world against Nazis and fascists. And why is the symbol of Nazism, fascism, on the presidential podium where the president stands to give his State of the Union address? We see Roman fasci, the symbol of international fascism. Somebody better start waking up and finding out Bin Laden is not our enemy. This man is not your enemy. Here is the enemy. The symbols of world fascism, Nazism, the mace itself. One needs to understand that in the United States Senate, there is a symbol called the mace. This mace is a Nazi fascist symbol. It comes out of the ancient Roman Empire. The fasci symbols of the bundle of sticks with the hatchet head comes out of the Roman fascist system in Europe. So if we have an enemy, you can bet your bottom dollar, here is the enemy.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we.
It's like ancient Rome.
So we knew by the middle of last year that there was going to be probably something called a Reichstag fire episode. And those of you who know about Nazi history probably understand that that means an explosive political episode, terrorist episode, calculated to buffalo the people into accepting the giving up of their rights. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the reality is that throughout the 20th century, most totalitarian regimes have come in place through the voluntary acquiescence of the people. Surprisingly enough, more liberty is lost through the ballot box than through tanks. So what you have to understand is, what are the signs, what are the kinds of techniques that are used to create these episodes? We figured by the middle of last year there was going to be a Reichstag fire, there was going to be an episode calculated to try to catapult the American people into a state of panic where they would give up their freedom in favor of tyranny.
We know it's a war game scenario, that it has to do with airline counterterrorism. Why is that important enough to kill for?
Because it's no longer a game.
But if some terrorist group wants to act out this scenario, why target you for assassination?
Depends on who your terrorists are.
The men who conceived of it in the first place. You're saying our government plans to commit a terrorist act against a domestic airline?
There you go. Indicting the entire government as usual. It's a faction. A small faction.
For what possible gain?
The Cold War's over, John. But with no clear enemy to stockpile against, the arms market's flat. But bring down a fully loaded 727 into the middle of New York City, and you'll find a dozen tin pot dictators all over the world just clamoring to take responsibility and begging to be smart bombed.
The fact of the matter happens to be that the whole war on terror is a fraud, it's a farce. Yet there's a war going on in Iraq, because we invaded Iraq. And people over there fighting, you know. But the war on terror, it's a joke. You know, and until we discover what really happened on 9/11 and who was responsible for 9/11, because that's where the war on terror emanates from. That's where it comes from. It was 9/11 that allowed this war on terror to begin. And until we get to the bottom root of 9/11, the truth of 9/11, we'll never know about the war on terror.
How did you feel when you heard about the terrorist attack?
Well, thank you, Jordan. Well, Jordan, you're not going to believe what state I was in when I heard about the terrorist attack. I was in Florida. And my chief of staff, Andy Card, well, actually, I was in a classroom talking about a reading program that works. And I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower the TV was obviously on.
The president tells us he sees, on an ordinary TV set outside a school classroom, the first plane hit the World Trade Center. He gives the oddly reinforcing detail that, quote, the TV was obviously on, unquote. He continues.
I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot. And I said, it must have been a horrible accident. But I was whisked off there. I didn't have much time to think about it.
Didn't have time to think about it. As if his being told, time to meet the kids, Mr. President, stops all his thought processes concerning the remarkable image of what he's told us he's just seen on an ordinary TV, on top of all his knowledge of the unprecedented situation from earlier in the morning. But anyway, could George Bush have seen on ordinary TV the first plane hit the World Trade Center? No, he could not have. The footage of that first strike only shows up on television the next day, September the 12th, 2001. It was taken by a French documentary crew that happened to be in downtown New York.
Holy shit!
The Orlando town hall session takes place 7 weeks after 9/11, so it can be suggested Bush confuses the second plane with the first. But how to explain this? We've all seen Andy Card do that. None of this can ever be retracted. It is an interlocking historical record. Why go on at length about this? Because it may one day become the basis for criminal court proceedings.
Later that afternoon, another building at the World Trade Center site collapsed. This time, without a plane ever hitting it. This is Building 7, in the shadow of the Twin Towers. Its collapse was captured on camera from several angles. These are other buildings which were brought down by demolition charges. The collapse of Building 7 here looks similar.
Here on this video, you can actually see what happens. This is looking directly south at where we're standing now. We're down here.
But it does look exactly like a controlled demolition.
I understand why people might think that, and I see what they're saying, but when you learn the facts about the way that the building was built and about the way that it supported itself and the damage that was done from the collapsing towers that preceded it, the idea that it was a demolition just holds no water.
In its provisional report on Building 7, the official investigators suggested the collapse was caused by intense fires that fatally weakened the building's steel frame. But they said this had a low probability and more research was needed. Five years on, their final report is still being prepared. It's thought investigators will conclude that the evidence supports their initial theory. The building collapsed. It wasn't demolished.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. And I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.